Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Where To Go. I'm James Atkinson, brand manager at DKI Witness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, senior editor at DKI Witness.
So today we're heading to the world's capital of country music and one of the most exciting cities in the USA, Nashville, aka Music City.
Yes, that's right. So the state capital of Tennessee is most famous as a home to a dazzling array of music stars, from Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline, mm-hmm. Emmylou Harris, to Jack White, Taylor Swift, the Black Keys, to name just a few. It's home to the Country Music Hall of Fame and the Grand Ole Opry, country music's spiritual home, as well as an incredible number of arenas and live music venues.
However, and this is something we're going to touch on in a little bit with our guest, the city's creative charm extends far beyond its almost unrivaled musical heritage. It also has a well-deserved reputation as being a friendly, incredibly fun place to visit in its own right, with a vibrant and ever-growing fashion, arts and foodie scenes. It's a place where local community is celebrated and where both tradition and innovation work together in perfect harmony. Pardon my pun.
And in a celebration of the city, we at DK Witness are actually releasing our first ever Nashville travel guide early next year with Nashville Like a Local, which is incredibly exciting because also I'm editing it. So it's lovely today to be here talking about Nashville.
So this is a little bit of a subject close to your heart at the
minute. It is. I sort of feel like I'm living, breathing the place without actually being there.
And how much do you already want to go to Nashville now, before we start the episode?
So desperate to go. So desperate to go. It is so cool. And I know I have this famous list of places that I want to go to, but I'm not just saying that. I'm very aware I sound a bit like Bruce Forsyth. I'm not just saying this. Nashville is genuinely my favourite.
Okay, well, to see if she can convince Lucy any more than she's already convinced to go to Nashville, we've got a very special guest today. It's Libby Calloway. So Libby's a native Tennessean and former fashion editor of the New York Post, who now runs The Calloway, her own agency on championing Nashville's many local businesses and designers, as well as a number of projects celebrating the city, such as The Calloway Report, which features stories of fascinating creative Nashvillians, I believe that's the word.
It is, yeah.
Yep. And Greetings from Nashville, which is a kind of roving pop-up concept introducing the community to other cities across America.
So without further ado, and prepare to hear me fangirl, welcome Libby.
Hi Libby.
Hi Lucy. Hi James. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, very, very excited to talk all things Nashville. So just to explain today's format, we're going to explore the past, present and future of Nashville, taking a look at what makes Music City tick, why it's such an attractive place to visit, how the city has responded to events of the past year, and what travellers can expect to do when they return.
For context, we're recording this in March, where although Nashville, like many American cities, has experienced a raft of restrictions to combat the impact of COVID-19, the success of the city's vaccination process means they're now set to introduce some easing of these restrictions over coming weeks, depending on whether they hit certain vaccination targets.
And although international travel might not be a possibility for now, there is a growing sense of optimism that visitors may be able to return to Nashville soon.
So in this first section, we're going to discuss Nashville outside of the context of the pandemic and do a deep dive into everyday life and things which make Music City so unique. So, Libby, you returned to Tennessee after a very successful career as a fashion journalist in New York City. What prompted you to move back to your home, your place of, where are you born in?
I'm from East Tennessee. So I am from about 3 hours east of here, right above Chattanooga. So yes. I'm from Appalachia.
Okay.
The mountains. And this is like, this is the Cumberland Plateau where Nashville is. And then Memphis is like the Delta. So Tennessee is really three different states. I mean, a lot of people consider it that, Middle East and West Tennessee.
And so what was it about Nashville that kind of tempted you back from New York?
Well, like I just, and I had a great job in New York. I was the fashion editor at the New York Post. And like, that's never anything I had my sights set on when, I mean, I'm from a small town in East Tennessee, you know, but I moved to New York in 95 and got my master's at NYU in journalism and started working at the Post. And I had this great job, but it just got, it just didn't fulfill me anymore. You know, it was super glamorous. It was Met Ball. It was fashion shows. It was Oscars. It was all that stuff. But whenever I came to Nashville, I felt really happy and safe. I had a lot of friends here from home. And I knew I wanted to move back to the South. Like, I had a revelation. I was like, I want to move back to the South. I didn't want to go to Atlanta. It's just too big. And none of the other cities really excited me. And I wanted to go to a media center. And so I got a job at the Tennessean here, and which is our hometown newspaper. And it has a really rich history. Like, you know, it was... one of the early editors was, or the editors from last century was John Siegenthaler, who's a big First Amendment advocate, and Al Gore was a reporter there early on. So it has a big history. And so that was, I got a job there, but also I just wanted a different lifestyle. And I knew that Nashville had opportunities beyond journalism if I wanted to change my route.
Cool. So, and I know, like, Nashville is obviously kind of world famous, particularly as being one of the sort of like almost home cities. Well, the sort of birthplace and natural home city of country music. But
yeah.
But if you were speaking to someone who knew absolutely next to nothing about Nashville, how would you introduce it to them?
Nashville is among entertainment cities in the U.S. I feel like it's kind of the third coast, you know, in fact, it gets called the third coast. And that's kind of funny because it's the Cumberland River. It's this, you know, this river that we say is the coast. But the entertainment industry, having been, you know, growing here since the 1950s, really changed things. Like, this is a really pretty genteel southern town of debutantes and magnolias and, you know, horse racing and everything. But the music industry landing here and really like booming in the 60s and 70s when TV took over and it, you know, people got to see what Dolly Parton and Porter Wagner looked like, really changed everything. And people got this new perspective on what Nashville is. And so there's always this, I see it as this really kind of interesting tension between Music Row, which is the home of the entertainment industry, country music industry, and then West Nashville, which is Belle Meade. It's the very, you know, it's where the big homes are and the boulevards and like never the twain shall meet in a way. Although there has been crossover, most notably Minnie Pearl, who is a famous country personality, and she was actually this very, you know, established patrician woman from West Nashville, but she played a hick on WSMV on the Grand Ole Opry. So there are these overlaps. It's really an interesting city in that way. It's the damnedest people show up here. I mean, it's really weird. I mean, seriously, just like name a random pop star and they live here, I guarantee you.
So it is genuinely musical then, because we know it's Music City, and that is, it is actually a city of musicians.
Oh yes.
And every bar or venue is sort of, and is it all country music or is it,
no, you know, and that's one of my best friends when I first moved here, you know, like I knew all these rock musicians, those were all my friends. This was even before Jack White moved here and like the Kings of Leon started. This is like the late 90s and stuff that I had all these musician friends who were here. And Laura was like, country is the PR, rock is the reality. And in a way that's true. It's like some of the really interesting, I think, you know, things that are happening in the recording industry are coming out of here.
Yeah.
There's a reason that people decide to record in Nashville, and it's because of the wealth.
Yes.
I mean, whatever genre they are, it's because of the wealth of talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is everywhere. And I've got so many friends. I know we're going to talk about how COVID has affected Nashville later, but like, you know, so many friends who are touring musicians.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
And so their lives have been absolutely disrupted by this.
Of course.
But they're the best out there, you know, so they're doing, not only are they touring with their bands that might be here, but they're touring with bands out of LA and out of Europe and like, you know, going on international tours. So it's like it is a total working industry here, and it permeates every part of the grid, I think.
Wow.
But yes, rock. Yes, rock is like, we have Kings of Leon, and I have this theory about like culture changing really. Not long after I moved here, I moved here in 2004, and in 2006, Jack White moved here. And for anybody who doesn't, I found out my assistant does not know who Jack White is after I was like talking about him like everybody knew who he was. She's very young. But but I was like, okay, Jack of the, you know, of the White Stripes, who moved here in 2006 and opened Third Man Records. And they started bringing in really interesting, you know, rock acts, but also doing something that I just like cannot give him enough credit for, which is collaborating with other parts of the music industry. So he was working with bluegrass legends and, you know, bring comedians in and like bringing, you know, pop stars and like really not being a snob about music. And I think that's really one of the most beautiful things about it here is like everybody works together. It's just like, it's just about making art. It doesn't, the genre really doesn't matter.
So we're working on a Nashville book at the moment, and it sounds to me like it's a very down-to-earth city, and that community, it's a very warm city, and kind of community is at its heart. Is that fair?
100%. I think that, and this is, so I have a communications company, PR marketing, and you know, I have worked with a lot of brands that come in from New York and LA and want to establish themselves here and want to integrate. And they come in kind of puffing out their chests and peacocking a little bit because they're from the coast. And, you know, wanting to, and it's, I'm like, oh God, you got it. You got to temper that. It's the first, that's the easiest way to turn a Nashvillian off, because they're really, people really are nice and really do want to collaborate and absolutely want to support each other. The support here is out of control.
Great.
Cross genre. You know, you've got chefs collaborating with musicians and dancers collaborating with designers, and, you know, all the arts just really meld and everybody is like on each other's team. So, yeah, that's the thing I tell people. I'm like, yeah, they want to bake you a cake and they're not going to put a shiv in the middle of it. You know, it's like there's going to be you're not going to get poisoned. It's like we really are like trying to roll out the red carpet and make people feel comfortable when they're here.
Fantastic. And I was actually going to touch on some of those other kind of disciplines aside from music, because obviously music is what Nashville kind of comes first in people's minds almost when you think of Nashville, but there's really thriving, you know, obviously with your company, you work with all of them, but there's really thriving kind of like fashion, arts, foodie scenes there. Can you tell us a little bit about those and kind of what's happened to Nashville in the last 10, 20 years and how, you know, new voices and new people have kind of started to make a difference there?
So this really is my favorite question to answer, because I think I've gotten a front row seat to it. You know, I left New York because I wanted to kind of get away from all that. But and my friends were telling me I committed career suicide, that like, you know, I was almost like I was retiring at 34. So I come down here, and little do I know that the city is about to blow up in a super significant way, probably not seen since in the last 40 years. And I only say the last 40 years because of the country music industry being, you know, really blowing up when TV started promoting it. But when I got here, like I said, 2 years later, Jack White lands and opens Third Man Records. The Kings of Leon were already there. I think rock and roll really, that this new era of rock and roll changed everything. The Black Keys moved down from Akron and landed here. So you have these three big Grammy winning, you know, acts that are here now. And people are thinking about Nashville as like, why are they moving there? I'm so curious about this. And about the same time, my old employers, Imogene and Willie, who are a denim company, moved here and opened shop. And they were making jeans in their 1930s gas station.
Cool.
And also having these beautiful events in their backyard that were community events. Anybody could come. And like, you know, Dan Auerbach would come and from the Black Keys would come and play a solo set. The Civil Wars would pop up. I mean, it was just, it was amazing. Mm. And everybody knew Imogene and Willie to be like this little cultural center. But because they had this identity that was not just in fashion, it started to really, you know, become a center. So they were not just working with, they were not just selling jeans. I think like also there was an interest in art that started to take hold, and everybody just started, it started multiplying.
Yeah.
Because I think when people start looking at a city for one thing, they start digging around, you know, when there's this new rebirth. So people started, I think the music industry really started people's renewed interest in what was happening in Nashville culturally. I also think around that time there was a move, people were kind of sick of what was happening in New York and LA.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to know what was happening in these tertiary cities or secondary cities. I wouldn't call Nashville a tertiary city. But you know, they were interested in what was happening in Portland, Oregon, and Austin, Texas, and Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, because it seemed more authentic, and it is in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of where new culture is being born. So, yeah, I think that, like, it just was kind of this perfect storm. And also the press, outside press, really helped us. When the New York Times called Nashville its city, and that changed everything. And GQ did this multi-spread, you know, shoot, it was like a 12-page shoot or something, but it not only had musicians and like Marty Stewart, an old school musician, was in there, but also the Wigs, who are a, you know, a band out of Athens, Georgia, that came here. It also had architects and chefs and small makers and the Imogene and Willie team. And like, it really expanded and thought about the culture in terms of not just like this one track mind of, you know, country. It's not all about country.
So cool.
Yeah, I mean, I find that kind of the idea of old versus new as well, like of kind of a new scene exploding, and that kind of how different that is to the scene from the 60s that kind of erupted back then, and how the two of them kind of, you talk about it being a friendly place, but everything sounds like it's quite harmonious, really, that it's still quite supportive.
It is, but you know, it's kind of funny. It's like there's still a very, like, I live in East Nashville, which, you know, if you know LA, this is like the Silver Lake of Nashville or the East Village of Nashville.
Yeah.
It's where all the creative people live. It's really, I was living in West Nashville, which, like I said, is a little bit more conservative when I first moved here. And I realized that, wow, nobody else here is a freelancer, you know, to move to East. But there still is this void. You know, there's still, like, I kind of consider it my mission to bridge these two communities, because there's so much happening in Nashville culturally, and that includes, you know, music, but also the design scene, the fashion scene, but also the interior design scene that West Nashville would love, but they just don't know about it. So I'm really passionate about trying to make sure that it's a community endeavor in terms of education. And it's not just preaching to the choir, because everybody over here already wears, you know, selvedge blue jeans and, you know, rides a freaking motorcycle. I don't know. I'm playing into every cliche here, but I just feel like there's so many interesting things here that like people who live in Nashville proper have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so I try to educate.
And actually that kind of expands to visitors and guests. And have you kind of noticed the types of like traveler that you get visiting the city changing over time as well? I mean, I guess there would have been a lot of people, you know, turning up in cowboy boots, right? Previously, and
there still are a lot of people, you know? And it's like, and
there's
also
nothing wrong
like,
with that, right? That's
no. Listen, I just got a new pair of cowboy boots last week, but I love them. But it's that iconography that gets associated with the town. Like, you know, it's like I am anti cowboy boot and hat being used in any kind of way for advertising. You know, I really like cringe at guitar. I don't know. It's like Let's think of something fresher and cooler and newer. You know, it's a different, it's a modern city.
Yeah.
And I think that we get typecast as hicks a lot, and that's just crazy.
Yeah.
So, it's really a very bustling, modern, cosmopolitan city. And a lot of that does have to do with the guests, the visitors who come in.
Yeah.
And there's a huge movement right now, besides the people who want to come and, like, you know, dance at Roberts and some of the honky tonks downtown. There's a huge contingency of bachelorette parties.
Yes. Because isn't it known as Nash Vegas? Isn't another nickname for Nashville?
Yes. It has always been Nash Vegas. I'm not going to give the bachelorettes that. But they don't get to own that.
That wasn't the bright idea of a bachelorette one day.
No. But it's insane. I mean, like, you can be flying here from, you know, flying into Nashville from New York or LA or really Toronto, anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm always on the plane with at least two groups that I know are in for bachelor or bachelorette parties. And usually with the bachelorettes, you can tell because they have on ridiculous t-shirts and hats shaped like penises. And, like, you know, just it's really bizarre. But it's turned into this cottage industry. Now there are restaurants and hotels that cater to them. But I don't think that's the typical traveler. I think it's like, I think they come and they spend a lot of money, and people are very happy to see that.
So how about you, Libby? Whether you're in your cowboy boots, your new cowboy boots or not, how do you like to spend time in your city? What are you up to?
Well, pre-COVID. There's so much to do. I mean, like, my perfect day usually starts, you know, having breakfast somewhere great in my neighborhood and having some wonderful locally roasted coffee. We've got the best coffee makers here. Yes, such good coffee. And, you know, my first thing I always tell visitors they have to do, even if they think they don't like country music, is go to the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It is so good. And it's like, it is the history of America. It has, you know, just sort of framed around country music. It's like if you saw the Ken Burns documentary about country music, the series he did, it's like you realize that we're telling the story of the United States. It's not, and the world, but it's not just about music.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And it's so beautiful and so historic. And I always tear up in there. It just makes me so proud to be in Nashville. Oh. But also we've got great art institutions like the Frist Art Museum is gorgeous. It is in an old Art Deco post office that's been turned into a museum. And they have a killer actually, right before we got on, I was on my phone trying to get a reservation for the Picasso exhibit that's going to go out next month. So it's a huge deal. We have incredible galleries. Like, the art scene has really blown up the last couple of years, as well as hospitality. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some terrific hotels that have opened. I've been involved in a couple of them. Like, you know, big players are coming in, like the Four Seasons and W and opening hotels. So it's really expanded. But in terms of my perfect day, or like what I like to do, I love going to restaurants. Like, you'd think it's a weird place to eat oysters, but Henrietta Red, which is one of my favorite restaurants, has the best oyster bar. And just go, like, on a Saturday afternoon at 5:30 and, you know, my friends have cocktails and we all eat oysters, and it's perfect.
Sounds good.
So, you know, and then great music. You can always find great music. It's happening, like, you know, walking down the street here, you can't avoid live music.
Yeah, because there's a ridiculous amount of, like, live venues per person in Nashville. It's like one of the highest per capita in the world.
And churches.
of course.
It is one thing that I love about the city is that, like, there's a Greyhound station downtown, and I'm dead serious, you can go down there today and see somebody getting off of a Greyhound with a guitar on their back.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a city of dreams. There's no difference between, like, an actor going to LA and trying to to, and you hear those stories all the time. Like, you know, Keith Urban, I was listening to a podcast with him recently talking about like coming here and waiting tables and, you know, having to really work his way up. Those stories are everywhere.
Cool.
And it's, but the talent is absolutely out of control.
I also wanted to kind of ask about, and you've talked about it a bit with the mountains, but the area surrounding Nashville is pretty spectacular, yep. right? You've got kind of the things like the Natchez Trace Parkway, which is actually, we've got a new book about cycling coming out in a couple of weeks. And there's
oh God, that's like terrific.
Yeah, there's an amazing looking route kind of going through there. But do you get out the city much? Are you able to kind of explore? Obviously,
I am a city person, but I still enjoy driving down the Natchez Trace and stopping for a hike every now and then. But I think that, like, you know, one of my favorite road trips is going to Florence, Alabama, which there's beautiful. You can drive the trace down there.
Cool.
But Florence is where Muscle Shoals is.
Okay.
So that's where it's very famous for the recording studios in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and still actually, but it's where a lot of the R&B groups recorded, a lot of the Southern rock, like, Aretha Franklin recorded there, the Rolling Stones recorded there, Wild Horses.
Yes. Yeah.
The Allman Brothers used to record there, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Cool.
Really, and the Black Keys recorded Brothers there, It's kind of been rediscovered lately, but it's this beautiful collection of four small cities that are clustered around the river. And the Helen Keller House is there. There's the W.C. Handy Blues Festival happens. It's like this city that's really made up of, you know, paying homage to all these different types of music.
Cool.
So it's a 2-hour drive. Perfect. They've got some great restaurants, great designers too. One of my former employers, Billy Reed, who's a Southern designer, is based there. And another good friend of mine, Natalie Channon, is there as well. So these are like world-class designers that are in this tiny little Alabama town.
So cool.
Really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So thanks for kind of introducing us to Nashville. In this next section, we're now going to quickly touch on some of the events of the past year. From the bright lights of its remarkable cities, such as Nashville, to the quaint charisma of its rural towns, to the natural majesty of its national parks, the USA truly offers everything in excess. So to help plan your own American dream, DK Eyewitness USA is the perfect companion. Find it in all good retailers or via the link in our episode bio. So Libby, kind of, you've touched on it a tiny bit, but how have you found living in Nashville during the past year? And you talked a bit about the musicians and stuff as well that kind of make up the community. How has the virus really kind of affected everyday life?
Well, the last year has been really hard. Like, it's been hard for me personally for a lot of reasons, but like, it's been hard for everybody because right before the COVID, I mean, literally 2 weeks before we locked down for COVID, a major tornado hit my neighborhood.
Wow.
And it made international news. It was huge. It was, you know, 26 people were killed. There's still destruction in my neighborhood. There's still buildings that are leveled or haven't been cleaned up, like less than a mile away from me.
Right.
And some of my favorite places are gone. And that happened on a Monday night. And we have actually today, it's getting darker outside. There's tornado warnings tonight. It's really scary. We're in Tornado Alley.
Oh, wow.
So that happened right before COVID. So it was like this double whammy, like nobody's business. Everybody was terrified. And so everything was on pause for a while. And I think like we were just waiting for the next shoe to drop. And then the protests started and, very necessary, but like the timing, of course, is, you know, complicates everything.
Yeah.
There was all the protests in the summer of last year. It's like everything just kept on building up. And I think for a while, for about 6 months, everybody really stayed quiet.
Yeah.
And everybody I knew, nobody was going out. I still have people, friends who have not gone to restaurants. Like I said, I've been a little more adventurous, and I live alone. I like, you know, don't have anybody here that I'm going to infect. So I have been out and about and engaged as much as I can, but there's not much to do. Mm. I mean, like, yeah, all the venues have the honky tonk, the bars have been open, but at a very, very limited capacity. I think there may be restaurants are now up to 75% perhaps.
Okay.
But bars also can stay open now until I think one.
Okay.
Which just happened. So that's a big deal. And that's going to change everybody. Everybody's definitely feeling, I feel like the mood now is that people feel like it's going to lift soon.
Yeah.
There's definitely this turn that's happened. Mm. Yeah. So it's pretty normal, to be honest with you. But like for a while, for about 6 months, it really felt locked down and tight.
Has it been quite gradual, that optimism, but kind of building and things kind of coming back online in a way?
Yeah, I think winter was really hard. I'm sure it was for you guys too.
Mm. Yeah.
But I feel like there was a lot of depression, a lot of, you know, a lot of heaviness.
Yeah.
And I know I have friends whose businesses closed, tons of people who lost their job. I had to let my whole team go last summer.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Because, you know, the kind of work I do is largely event oriented, and also I deal with, I help luxury brands that come to town find their audience. And so, you know, Gucci is one of my clients. We were supposed to do a big opening party for them last May. That didn't happen.
No.
You know, and like, you know, the boot company I was working on where I just got my boots, like they did, they had a store opening last week, which was the first time it was the first time it felt normal in a year. Like, and it wasn't a big group of people that came to the store either.
Yeah.
But it was a very small controlled group. But it started to feel normal. I feel like people are feeling very optimistic.
Good.
That is good to hear. And like during this kind of weird time, like when it did go quiet, have you actually found sort of any new sides to the city without the kind of visitors, without sort of parties or anything like that? Have you seen anything different to it?
Yeah, I think that there's been a lot of like home entertaining that's been really fun. Mm, and yeah. And a lot of that happens with the assistance of restaurants. Like the things that the most interesting pivots I've seen in terms of how people are handling running their businesses in the pandemic have been through the restaurants. You know, restaurants here have gotten really creative. Like, they've opened grocery stores. They're now hosting community-supported agriculture, CSAs, which, you know, their farmers are bringing produce to them and they're selling it through the restaurants. They've been doing lots of collaborations, lots of chef collaborations in the city, and lots of takeout, obviously.
Cool.
So it's been, I've tried to support as many restaurants as I can by, you know, having people over and sitting in the backyard, but picking up food from these restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a lot of the designers here, the way that they've had a pivot is they've just put a lot of emphasis on digital. Like people have really dug into digital, and some people have found new verticals within their existing companies that they've built out during this time, and it's been really lucrative for them. So they haven't been hit quite as hard because their audiences have actually gotten bigger.
It sort of sounds like this, you know, Nashville's obviously a very creative city and the pandemic has kind of been a sort of a way to show that if these are how businesses are thriving. It's sort of, I imagine many businesses have struggled, but it also seems like in some ways they've thought outside the box like Nashville does. And, you know, as you say, they've got people coming, sort of giving them business.
Yeah. Yeah. And great. I think it's, you know, people very much want to support, like I've got a sign in the front yard that the Convention and Visitors Corporation gave out that says, love thy neighborhoods. Mm. Like the CVC is historically about, you know, the PR of the city, the outward facing PR, but like they saw such a need for the city to double down on supporting local businesses that they started a whole campaign, the Love Thy Neighborhood campaign. Mm. And just encouraging people to really, you know, think about the local businesses that they frequent and, you know, staying local, trying not to buy. God, I buy from Amazon constantly. It's just, it's so easy. Everybody does. But like, but when I can, I like, there's a tiny little hardware store down the street. And, you know, I try to go there as much as I can.
Yeah.
Instead of like ordering what I need from Amazon. Just yeah. little things.
Yeah.
It's been nice. It's been like we've all tucked in a little bit, which has been nice.
Great. Speaking of being positive, you sort of mentioned before about like kind of some visitors starting to come back, and have people started coming to Nashville again? Are the streets starting to feel a bit more bit fuller?
Yes,
fantastic.
And it is like, you know, driving downtown is still very light traffic, and it's really nice because it's really, you know, believe me, it's a pleasant situation. But it is like knowing that how much those businesses down there are hurting, I'm glad that it's coming back. I do want people to be careful, and like, it's hard to imagine being careful when you're on the dance floor at a honky tonk, but, or, you know, are wanting to belly up to a bar, but people are, for the most part, being respectful, I think.
You just saying being on the dance floor of a honky tonk there sounded quite emotional to me.
I know. But there's something really cool that happens in my neighborhood. It's at the American Legion, which, you know, is a place where vets go and gather. You don't have American Legions, but like there's got to be something similar.
We've got British Legion.
British Legion. There's something called Honky Tonk Tuesday where all the players, the musicians who play on Lower Broadway during the week, like Tuesday's their night off. So they all go to the American Legion and play. And, you know, so many people I know go in two-step and dress up. And
how wonderful.
And that's back.
Oh, so, great. Fantastic.
Yeah, they're doing a broadcast, but they're also doing like a live thing. You've got to wear a mask.
Sure.
But, you know, it's terrific in there. It's you got to go, Lucy, when you come.
I will. I'm making a note. Make a note.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So now we're going to look at what the future holds for Nashville, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. So Visit Music City have launched a Come On Back campaign, which talks about how Nashville has continued to design and write and cook and record and generally create over the past year. So Libby, what kind of things can travellers expect when they are able to visit Nashville again?
Well, I think there's just going to be a general jubilation.
Yeah.
You know, people are so excited to welcome people back.
Yeah.
Because that has become like tourism is, it's not our number one industry, but it's definitely up there.
Yeah.
You know, it drives the culture of the city. And I think that people are very proud of it.
Yeah.
So, I know that like there's one of my favorite things that's going to happen after we're able to get around without wearing masks is my friend Sean Brock, who's a superstar chef here, is opening what I think is going to be one of the most important restaurants in the world. You know, it'll definitely be one of the biggest restaurant openings of this year if he gets it open this year.
Fantastic.
It's called Audrey, and it's just a really forward thinking restaurant that is also a research and development center for Appalachian culture,
cool.
which is
oh, cool.
where I'm from. He's from the same part of the country I am, so it's really preserving these, you know, these traditions that were born out of the mountains, and really taking a focus on Southern culture, which really, Southern culture, there's definitely, like, people talk about fried chicken, people talk about grits, people talk about, you know, here, hot chicken.
Yeah.
But, like, Sean's really looking at the way that people from the mountains preserved and grew gardens, and, you know, how these strains of different beans and corn and grains were passed down through the centuries. Cool. So it's going to be a really important restaurant. I'm excited about that. Ooh. There's new venues opening in my neighborhood. Wow. I mean, there's a grocery store that just opened down the street. There's definitely new retail coming in. I know there's, you know, I almost said what it was. And I was like, oh, my friend Elliot will kill me if I say it out loud. But there's definitely things, like, it is not stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, the growth is still here. I work with an architecture firm here who has 10 projects on the main street, wow, out in the main drag through my neighborhood. And that's right now.
Wow.
10 projects.
Wow.
Yeah.
So even if you've been
apartment
before,
apartment complexes
it's going to be, oh, it's going to be a different city when you, which.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be. And I think, you know, there's the good thing about it is the things that never change are still staying the same. Like, you know, I feel like there's still corners of the city, like Honky Tonk Tuesday at the American Legion. That's always going to feel the same.
Cool.
And it'll be fun to have people back.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do feel a lot of hometown pride. Like, people have really pitched in to help their neighbors here, especially, I think everybody felt very galvanized after the tornado too. There was a lot of, yeah, there was a lot of movement to help your community then. And then COVID happens and it's like, oh God, it's even more important for us to pitch in and help each other.
That's I mean, having that kind of mindset, it really shows a place's character, right? And that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And kind of thinking sort of about when people do kind of come back, or those who are already coming back, but what might, like, really, would you say would really surprise them on their sort of first visit? Like, what might kind of be quite different to what they're expecting?
I just think, like, all the growth that's happened, like, it looks like a physically different city.
Mm.
The skyline is different. There's still a ton of cranes out. I think that people who come here are very, and have a preconceived notion about what Nashville is based on the hat and boot thing.
Yeah.
You know, are surprised at how cosmopolitan it is,
yep,
are surprised at, you know, the offerings of, you know, when people come and they want to go to a Southern restaurant, I'm often like, oh God. Well, there's definitely meat and threes. So we have that traditional.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what a meat and three is, you guys probably have researched this.
I was going to try and introduce it at some point. And then you started talking about amazing gastronomy.
I know,
and
right?
So on.
I know. It is amazing. I mean, like, so a meat and three is like a cafeteria style setup,
yep,
where you go through and you choose one meat.
Yep.
And that being like fried chicken, chicken fried steak, fried catfish. It's like not the most healthy thing. It's probably grilled chicken. There's grilled chicken there for somebody. And then
quite
the
a world
three,
away from New York. So yeah.
Totally. Although they try to replicate it and they mess it up.
Yeah.
But the three, and then three vegetables. So there's one meat and three vegetables. And the vegetables can be anything from green beans, you know, to collard greens, to squash casserole and fried apples. And so yeah, it's really, and you get lots of, you know, sweet tea, which is a Southern delicacy as well. So yeah, that's, I think those are still there, but like there's really terrific, like I said, gastronomy happening.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested to see the kind of art people have been making under this.
Yeah.
Like I've got, you know, and I'm talking about visual arts. Like I know a lot of my artist friends have been really inspired, but like also, you know, the albums that are going to get made here after
of
this.
Of course. Because also you mentioned art earlier, but I meant to say that there are a couple of art crawls in Nashville. Aren't art crawls quite a big deal?
I think. Oh, yeah, they are. Especially in, like, one of the most important new neighborhoods here is Wedgwood, Houston.
Yeah.
It's not a new neighborhood. It's been around forever. But, like, it's a total gallery scene. It's where the new Soho House is going.
Yes.
Apple Music is located there. Their headquarters is there.
Wow.
It's really, really thriving. And I think it's going to be a big retail center as well. Like, I've got friends who own, well, Sabas that I was talking about earlier, the leather company, just moved over there. There's a design center,
yeah,
which is world class. Yeah. I mean, the design community here is really untapped, and I think that's going to change.
So Libby, how about is there a particular time that people should visit Nashville? So a particular time of year?
Huge fan of this time right now, which is spring. And like, I've got a huge pink tulip tree in my backyard.
Oh, lovely.
That's probably going to lose all the tulips because it's going to storm today. But it's been beautiful for the last 2 days. So it is really, really pretty in April. So April is kind of like the apex, and then October. I mean, it's kind of like, those are also my favorite months in New York too. So they're just like the transitional seasons are really when you want to come. Summer's super hot. I mean, super hot.
I was
going to
say, does it get really, really warm?
Really, really warm. And, you know, obviously there's a lot to do outside here. It's a lot of walking around, especially if you're going downtown. But it gets really hot.
Libby, I just want to then ask you, you know, about what projects you're working on at the moment.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm super excited because the reason I have this fancy microphone is because, and a producer that I mentioned, is because tomorrow I'm taping my first webcast that I'm doing. It's an idea I had. It kind of hit, like, the ideas that I end up following through with and like moving forward on like hit me like brick walls. And I just know it, you know. And Vicarious came to me, the name Vicarious. And the idea is to talk to somebody, to go inside of the closets of some of Nashville's creative class, really interesting personalities, and talk about their lives through the lens of clothes. And I'm really pushing back on this being a fashion podcast. It's not a fashion podcast. It is about style and it is about personality. And there's a major difference to me between fashion and style. Like, fashion, I think, is what you wear, and style is how you wear it. And what I'm looking at is not necessarily what clothes are in the closet, but how the clothes that are there got there.
Yeah.
So how somebody's profession, how they grew up, how they're, you know, how they matured and evolved, like, and what they're doing now and where they live, how that affects how they dress. So my first interview is actually somebody who does work in fashion. She is also a Brit, Karen Elson, the model.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, yeah.
So Karen's first. Wow. Yeah. And then Sean Brock, who I mentioned before, Sean's going to do it. I have several really great singer-songwriters, but also I have a poet, I have, you know, a political activist, fantastic. I have a couple of designers. I'm trying to be really broad-minded about
it. So when do you think that will be up for us to all listen to?
Vicarious is hopefully going to launch the very end of March, early April.
Cool.
I'm kind of betting early April, although my producer is wanting earlier, but I'm thinking
earlier. Because I think, because I guess, like, you know, as well as all the sort of stories you've told us today, if you want to hear more of a window into the world of Nashville and the people that make up that kind of community, that sounds like a great place to start.
Yeah,
thank you. I think it will be. And so everybody can access it via my company website, which my company is called The Callaway. Mm-hmm. And that's Callaway with all A's. So the CallaWay.com. And we're also going to host it as a podcast on, I think, Apple Music is where we're going to post it.
Great.
So it'll be dual. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Cool. We've got everything set up. We've done our run throughs. We're good. I've dyed my hair. We're good.
Fantastic. Sounds really fascinating. Well, like, best of luck with that. And thanks for,
thank you,
at least today, kind of giving us a bit of a window into Nashville. I mean, I think me and Lucy were talking the other day about the podcast and how lovely it is to kind of like almost virtually travel when we haven't been able to go anywhere. And you kind of definitely have introduced
taken
us to Nashville today. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Libby. So a huge, huge thank you to Libby for joining us from Nashville to discuss all things Nashville. I can confirm I'm going to visit in spring 2022.
We are all not very shocked. And, but yes, I can also confirm that I am very, very keen to go to. Libby definitely sold it to us. And yeah, thanks for getting up with the larks, really, and joining us so early as well. But yeah, it was brilliant to hear all about all things Music City, both musical and non-musical.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Libby.
So you can join us next time where we'll be discussing all things Berlin. So, you know, a little bit closer to home, but not that really much closer to home, with travel writer and expert Cash, who's better known as the Budget Traveller. So as well as giving us all of our sort of top tips about Berlin, he'll be kind of taking us through sort of how to travel, you know, a little bit more budget looks.
Yeah, and, which will be really interesting. I think I need all those tips.
Yes, yeah, me too. So I've kind of forgotten how to have a holiday in general. So I think it'll be much appreciated. So we'll look forward to joining you with Cash in another fortnight. And until then, a huge thank you to Libby. A massive thank you to you too, Lucy.
Me too, James.
And we shall see you soon.
Where to Go was produced by the team at Decoy Witness and presented by James Atkinson and Lucy Richards. For more information about Decoy Witness, follow us on social media at Decoy Witness or visit dk.com/eyewitness.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.